grasses that will fuel this next generation system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to present this testimony.
Question, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Marv, how are you today?
Real good.
Good. It's my understanding, and I just found this out this morning. I was making some contacts around because I see Dr. Tyrone, our friend, is back in town to visit about atrazine. But you mentioned switchgrass, and it's my understanding they have a Roundup-ready switchgrass that's out there, and the other herbicide they use is atrazine. Are you familiar with that at all? Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'd like to visit with Dr. Tyrone today about some of the stuff he's talking about, and if he's supporting biotechnology for the Roundup Ready sort of things, or if we don't have atrazine available, what we're going to use for weed control and switchgrasses and stuff.
Mr. Zutz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Magnus. We currently grow switchgrass up in northern Minnesota, you know, for seed production. We don't have any GMO switchgrasses in Minnesota at the current time.
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chairman Junkie, and to the testifier, Mr. Zutz. two questions for you. First of all, as we're looking at providing appropriations for research, one institution that we look to is the University of Minnesota and IRE and the other entities that are all kind of working together at this point. My question to you is, why do you feel that we should appropriate the money to you instead of appropriating the money to the University of Minnesota? What do you do differently? And then the second question that I have for you, and this isn't, I'm not saying that I'm against this appropriation, but I just want to know what the justification would be. And then the second question is, as we looked at, we've heard from other testifiers about decreasing the amount of greenhouse gases that are in our atmosphere, they're suggesting, and also how we create the most production out of the sources that we might have out there. They're suggesting that we go to a variety of plants instead of just a monoculture. We go to a variety of prairie grasses, for instance. So my second question to you is, are you going to be looking at a variety of plants, or are you just going to be looking at more of a monoculture?
Mr. Zutz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, both is a simple question. In our plan, we're going to be looking at both the monoculture and the mixture of plants. We do have the Tillman study from the University of Minnesota that has been very interesting. We'll probably expand on that. A lot of this has a lot of questions to answer. Fertilization, fungicide usage, all this comes into play when we're trying to figure out when you harvest them. We haven't really harvested these crops before. We don't know what it's going to take for soil management when we start doing this. Why can we do it with the University of Minnesota? We have been working with the University of Minnesota since 1949. We are on a personal basis with the breeders at the University of Minnesota. They come up and meet with the growers. We put together a plan each year on how we're going to proceed with the grasses up in Roseville, Minnesota. It has worked very efficiently and effectively.
Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Minnesota Turf Seed Council, could you give me an idea how many dollars you typically spend in research and development, how much has been spent for each of the last 5 years or an average of the last 5 or 10 years, please?
Mr. Zutz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative. The last 5 years, approximately the council itself has been supporting the industry with about $50,000 per year for the last 5 years. For the last 2 years, with the help of the legislature, we have increased our funding for research to the tune of about $100,000 per year.
And Representative Welty, I know I've had conversations too on this. Besides third-party research that they can certainly do above and beyond the U, I think they are interested in perhaps using some of this money for a couple of years worth of graduate students also that they're trying to recruit. That while we've asked the U to do that, you know, we've I don't think they'll recruit enough to get down to the grass seed level, and so I think that's a good idea to have two-year grad students up there so that they can follow through and do these projects too and publish data on them, so that perhaps, if you can confirm that, maybe some of the use of these dollars. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is correct. We have worked with the university to identify some graduate students that would be willing and able to work on a project such as this. Usually when we work with the University of Minnesota and with the graduate students, it's a two-year proposal where the Grass Seed Council funds that activity for the student for 2 years of their education and their tuition and some of their work expenses.
And again, the key to that, members, as you all know, is hopefully once these folks work in Minnesota as grad students, they stay and continue to work in the industry as we try and develop different strains and of grasses and mixed prairie and all the other things that are coming. So we need those folks. Any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Olin, your bill will be laid over as amended, House File 1759, for possible inclusion. Thank you.
Make one last comment.
Well, you were doing good. I don't know. You want to say anything else?
Well, I was just going to reiterate the work of the grad students because, quite frankly, the Turf Seed Council has been working with grad students, et cetera, which is exactly what we've been pushing in this committee. So it's doing something that this committee has been looking at as emphasized.
Very good. Thank you. Representative Eakin, come on down.
He's nervous?
Who said?
Are we? Oh, I said if we travel that area of the state. I don't know if we're going there or not. Representative Eakin is here. Members, I move House File 1350 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Eakin, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a bill that would provide $300,000 for a feasibility study on the White Earth Reservation, looking into the possibility of doing a research facility for cellulosic ethanol. And one of the reasons that the University of Minnesota is looking into this is because it's the area where the three major biomes come together. Where you have the coniferous forest, the deciduous forest, and also the prairies all coming together. So there's a variety of biomass materials that can be used for experimental purposes. There is a significant amount of prairies there as well as open lands that could be planted into prairie grasses. So it's one of the most unique areas in the state because of that, actually in the country. I think that it could be an area that could lead the way in the development of cellulosic ethanol, and it's also would be a major boon, economic boon to an area that's been experiencing some economic difficulties in the state. So, with that, I'd like to introduce my testifier today. It's an honor to be testifying with the chair of the White Earth Tribe, Irma Visner.
Thank Welcome. You, Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Eakin. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Irma Visner, and I'm the tribal chairwoman of the White Earth Tribe located in northwestern Minnesota.
Excuse me. Can you spell your last name for
I'm
me?
I'm sorry. Visner, V as in Victor, V-I-Z as in zebra, E-M as in Nancy, O-R.
Thank you. It's on our sheet. Thank you. I'm not paying attention. Proceed.
Thank you. It is the goal of the White Earth Tribe to build or operate an ethanol plant, and to that end, we have a partnership with the University of Minnesota to conduct a feasibility study on the prairie grasses and the wood products, the biomass. Partnership is very, very extensive. Many partners are involved, and as well as our White Earth Tribal College, Community College, who would train the workers and also partner with the research and some of the agricultural programs at the University of Minnesota. That's a great benefit to the tribe. and to the students who are not only not only tribal members, but also non-Indian students who attend the tribal college. The White Earth Tribe is a large tribe. Our land jurisdiction is a square of 36 miles on each side. And our membership is about 20,000 enrolled members, 5,000 eligible to be enrolled, however they're not enrolled. So we have nevertheless we serve them. So we have a membership of about 25,000. And for as long as I can remember, and I've lived on the reservation all my life, our reservation and area has been economically depressed. We've not had decent jobs, we've not had decent homes, nor good health care, nor good education, and all of the benefits that we should have. And I'm not speaking for myself personally, but I'm speaking about the tribal members whom I serve. The ethanol operation would greatly benefit the tribe, and not only the tribe, but the surrounding areas, the counties. Menominee County is located entirely within the exterior boundaries of our reservation, and it's a very poor county, economically poor county, as well as other counties such as Hubbard County. And so the area would benefit greatly from an operation in biomass ethanol. And a couple of years ago, I was down here working for a tribal state casino, because not that I'm a proponent of gambling or anything like that, but because it would help alleviate the problems we have on our reservation with poor health care and poor housing and educational opportunities and jobs. I was not successful at that, but the ethanol and the research into ethanol and the feasibility that White Earth is participating with the University of Minnesota is exciting, because it fits very well. It's part of our, we as Native Americans, we are the first stewards and caretakers of the environment, and we know that out of necessity we're going to have to move in these areas of alternative renewable energy. So I am very, very excited about this potential, and I seek your support to help our tribe, and not only our tribe, but the entire area. Thank you.
Questions? Representative Eakin and Chairwoman Visner, question. If we choose to fund this, one of the suggestions have come, and I guess I think it's a good one. Apparently you have a richness of resource with your native prairies up there, and it was suggested that some language be added here that this money may also be used to study the feasibility of marketing native prairie plant seeds and other things. Again, assuming there may be quite a market for that coming up in the near future for the plant breeders we heard about earlier, or for others that are trying to develop a native prairie vegetation, you wouldn't be against us adding that language in, would you? So that's we're looking for ways for you to make money, like we said, and I think that might be a good one. Representative Eakin, as author, would you be amenable to that?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, I would be amenable to that.
So we'll ask research just to make a note of that should this bill move forward, that we want to add that.
And I did have just one oral amendment as well, a small one, if somebody could move that on line 1.15 we simply strike the word existing. And the reason that was done is because the existing was really in reference to the forest resources, but obviously there's not enough existing cellulosic material, and I think it could be misconstrued to mean existing cellulosic material as well.
Okay, I'll move that amendment. Members, line 1.15, delete the word existing. Any questions? All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? It's adopted. Any other questions or comments? Well, we thank you for bringing this before us. Interesting, and we appreciate you taking the time to come down and visit with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Kalin. We get you out of here early.
Oh, no, now
uh-oh.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members.
Good morning, Representative Kalin. I will move House File. Where is it? 1664 before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a short author's amendment to clarify just the funding stream issue and then ask the pages to hand around. I also have some letters of support of the project from the Farmers Union as well as from Chisago SWCD, and all the pages will hand those around as well after the amendment comes around. The I guess I'll speak to the bill before while members are getting the amendment.
What's your amendment? Oh, you got it here. Oh, you're handing the amendment out.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Hang on a minute. It won't take
appreciate long. Your patience, Mr. Chair.
The chair will move Amendment A2, and maybe just briefly explain what the amendment does.
Happy to do so, Mr. Chair. The kind of heart and soul of the amendment is line 1.3. As you'll see, that we are just giving the money specifically to Chisago County to make sure that we have just a solid fiscal agent that's ready to move with the money rather than the nebulous joint powers board. But the county is working, we work all the time with our neighboring counties, and so that the directive in lines 1.6 to 1.8 of the amendment is no problem. It goes just to the heart of the project.
All right.
At it from a regional perspective.
I'll move the A2 amendment. It's an author's amendment. Get the bill in the shape he would like. Any questions? All those in favor, say aye. Wait a minute. Hang on. Ben Sid's got major problems with it.
Yes, major problems.
I'm
putting on the flak jacket,
Mr. Chair, line 1.11, do you want to get rid of University of also? I'm sorry, it doesn't read completely right.
I do believe that, I think, yes, that would be correct.
Council, concur? All right. So add to, amend my amendment, to remove University of on 1.11.
I believe, Mr. Chair, just, for clarification, that actually the line 1.4 of the amendment does what Representative Finn said was asking, so we don't. I just want to make sure, just for clarity's sake, that we don't need to change the amendment. So, correct. Perhaps Council can.
Mr. Sullivan,
is it okay? Members of the committee, I just got this amendment for the first time, but I believe Representative Finstead is correct that if we do delete page 1, line 12, Minnesota will leave University of, and I don't see that picked up in any other line in the A2.
I think we have the heart of the substance of the amendment. I don't think there's controversy over it, Mr. Chair. We can proceed.
Line 111 does delete everything after Chisago. Yeah. So I think the amendment is okay, Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah, appreciate your sharp.
We'll double check it. If it's not, we'll. Any other questions? Representative Finstead's okay with it now. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed. Amendment's adopted. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1664 builds off of the work that you all are very familiar with from Dr. Thoman on the cellulosic ethanol, especially vis-a-vis prairie grass production in the Anoka Sand Plain, which is about 10 miles west of Chisago County. And much as Representative Eakin's very thoughtful project on the lighter land, East Central Minnesota is perfectly positioned to be one of the next steps in looking at cellulosic ethanol production. We also are in a tension zone between the forests of the coniferous forests of the northern section of Pine County, the sandy soils that dominate most of Chisago and Isani, and we also have some more richer clay soil as well. We, as you'll see at the lines 1.17 to 1.22, we have some existing capacity to pretty much move to production, we believe, in the next few years with some questions to be answered, and this feasibility study would help answer some of those questions. A quick little history. With me to testify today are three people who will present very short testimony, but the first is Mr. David Whitney. Mr. Whitney and I first got to know each other as part of the ad hoc Chisago County Land Use Coalition, an very unlikely coalition of environmentalists. We learned we had to use the word conservationists to be able to proceed with our conversation, and libertarian large tract landowners that Mr. Whitney represents as part of the Taxpayers for Responsible Land Use. And through 3 years of really working hard to make sure that landowners have more options in our comprehensive plan and than just selling out for development that's cookie-cutter development that doesn't maximize the availability of open space, but also that really restricts the opportunity to preserve the rural character and allow folks to keep farming where there's all sorts of development pressure. So the real buzzword in our community, where we don't have many sections that are larger, many sections of land that are larger than 160 acres or more, is really value added. And we have the resources at the Wild River State Park with an existing seed bank and some knowledge there and existing prairie projects there that we can build on. And we have the capacity of the willing and interested landowners that that Mr. Whitney has worked with. And we also have folks who are ready to come to the table, including our Sentence to Serve program and the Minnesota Conservation Corps, especially to the chair's question about seed production and looking at all those questions that we have down the road. So I'll hand it off to Mr. Whitney first.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and give us some short testimony.
My name is Dave Whitney, and I'll try to make it really brief, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. I'm not a paid staff person, and I'm not an expert on biomass. I'm a concerned citizen of Chisago County that, as Jeremy has said, represents a number of landowners in Chisago as far as the comprehensive plan. Our comprehensive plan, open space policies were adopted, and this House bill is a natural outcome, a future look at the open space policies that we've currently adopted. And it's a natural extension of where we're going. Chisago County has 180,000 acres of land, 20 acres or more, that are still undeveloped. This land, for the most part, is of low quality for farming, such as corn and soybeans. It's not as fertile. And according to Dr. Tillman, this is the type of soil that's needed for a biomass product. The second issue, it takes more than land, however, and that happens to be, Dr. Tillman points out that a cellulose ethanol is at least 5 years away from commercial viability. So the issue is, why should we spend money on a feasibility study right now? The second issue that's the most important, according to emails that we've had with Dr. Tillman, is creating an immediate market for a biomass product. And according to him, it looks like there are three potential markets for a pelletized biomass product. The first one is for pellet stoves to replace corn. The second is co-combustion agent with coal, rather in electric generation plants. And the third is a burning agent in coal or corn ethanol plants rather than using natural gas. We have the technology right now for the production of biomass pellets. And this kind of a study would let us look at whether or not there's an intermediate step available for an immediate market for biomass products. What I'm saying is this. We're looking at it as a three-phase situation. We have the land mass. We think we have the type of soils that will produce this kind of product. According to emails from Dr. Tillman, the next phase would be a pelletized product with an immediate market that I've mentioned that would be very beneficial to farmers immediately. And then when the technology becomes available for an ethanol plant, that ethanol plant would be the energy would be produced by these pellets, and the product itself
for the ethanol would be produced by the prairie grasses. It's an unbelievable win-win situation. I mean, it's almost too good to be true. And what we're asking for is a feasibility, the money to do a feasibility study to test this, to see the viability of this for Chisago, Pine County, and Isanti. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Do you have someone else you want to
bring
up?
Yes, County Commissioner, Chisago County Commissioner Lynn Schultz, and a farmer is here to join us as well.
Very good. Welcome, Commissioner. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Representatives, I'm Commissioner Lynn Schultz from Chisago County. One of the reasons I'm here today, Minnesota has made a commitment to renewable energy. I think that almost leads the nation. Our counties are collar and transition counties, but we have a strong desire to retain our rural environment and our atmosphere. Our residential growth has been rapid, but we are commercially deficient. Most of our folks leave our communities and commute to the cities. The study that could determine if there is a potential for any local job creation, reduction of commuting, and environmental benefits, along with the development of the cellulose renewable energy source, would greatly serve our region. Some of the things that have been mentioned that we have that are assets going into this project is the Wild River State Park has a tremendous seed stock there right now. The varieties that grow in a region are the varieties that should be developed in that region. The seeds that are going to be developed in Roseau will be in some cases specific to that region. We have seeds already in our region that we could capitalize on. The study would indicate that. We have transportation corridors. We have the freeway system. We have state highways. We have rail lines that run through our areas. We have the marginal lands that include the Anoka Sand Plain. For years, the university has worked on trying to figure out ways to protect the water quality in this Anoka Sand Plain. So a study done in our area could have great impact for expansion into throughout that Anoka Sand Plain, looking for ways to decrease the amount of row cropping and herbicide production application in those areas and go to a perennial crop that could help the aquifer system would be a goal that I think has been long sought. Preservation of open space has been mentioned in our county. We have a lot of folks move in and they want to keep it the way it is. But with agriculture changing and implements moving to 24 row corn planters and beyond that's in the other parts of the state, that's not appropriate use of the smaller tracts of land we have. If we have a way to develop this, an application that would work on some of these smaller areas where we can go in and round bale, that's a true reality for us. It's not to do some of this row cropping venture on these smaller tracts of land. We need jobs in our region. Again, we are economically deficient. Anything that we can bring to our region, anything we could identify would be a real asset to our rural outlying folks. And again, it would be expansionable into Kennebec, Mille Lacs, our surrounding counties. Carbon credits is another issue. There's a lot of research, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on this, but it has another potential to generate income, revenue for farmers. Farmers would make better decisions, but we always have to make them based on economics. And we don't always have the opportunity to make what's an environmentally sound decision because it just doesn't keep us viable. So we're not asking you to fit a square peg in a round hole. Biofuels are a fit for areas that have varied resources, and this study could look at the resources of our area and see how we could turn that into economic opportunity. Thank you so much for taking our presentation today. I am a member of Farmers Union and Farm Bureau, and they are supportive of these issues. They're bringing forward the carbon credit issue, which has a lot of work to be done. Thank you.
Good. Any questions? Commissioner Schultz, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, one more?
One more quick testifier, Mr. Chair and members. Gregory Bernou from Pine County, just to speak about the sort of the regional impact of the project.
Very good. Welcome to the committee.
Chairman Junkie, members of the board. My name is Greg Bernou. I'm the Pine County Land Commissioner. I'm here on behalf of the Pine County Land Department, the department that I manage, and also on behalf of the Pine County Board of Commissioners. We had a Commissioners Board meeting yesterday. I didn't have enough time to present this, but the board, I have the full backing of the board to proceed with this. They think it'd be a great boon for Pine County. Pine County is a little bit different from Chisago County in that of the 950,000 acres encompassed in the county, 170,000 acres are managed for timber resources by the DNR, and I'm responsible for 50,000 of county's tax forfeited lands. Lands left over is another 300,000 into parks. The majority of the rest of the land is private ownership, either in family farm or family forest. I'm here to speak on behalf of the family farmers and the family forest or loggers of Pine County. In recent years, international interests have bought up mills, timber mill capacities in northern Minnesota, which supplied or required timber from the northern half of Pine County. Mills have shut down in the past. We're in a state of depression in the northern half of Pine County due to limited markets for timber. This study would show that timber is a good and viable resource for generating biofuels and biomass. The Laurentian Energy Authority up in Virginia is already doing that and has proceeded with the plant. There's no reason we can't do it here. And what would make this even a more sound investment than the Laurentian Energy Authority is that from the Three Corners area where Isanti, four counties, actually Kennebec, Pine, and Chisago, you can go 75 miles in any direction from there and hit a major metropolitan area. North, you hit the Duluth Superior Complex. South, you hit the metro area. Going west, you ran into St. Cloud. So we're strategically located for a facility. The research money that you're about to appropriate for this, I hope, will go further to say, yes, this is a good project. We have the infrastructure available. We've got the freeway. We've got rail lines. We've also got power transmission lines in the area. We've got major uses right in the area, too. We've got the correctional facility up in Rush City, correctional facility up in Sandstone, and, of course, the Mille Lacs Band has a huge complex in Hinckley. All of these people would use fuels or electricity or products derived from that. Other than that, I would really like to stress to the committee to pass this bill along. It would benefit our family farmers and our family loggers, which are just as important to my county, and also the family farmers south of our border. So regardless of where a site or a plant is located, I really urge the study to find out where to be best. That's all I have.
Very good. Any questions for the witness? I do appreciate you coming, and I do appreciate the addition of woody products, forest products. That's something I don't think people think about in this state when they're thinking agronomic cellulosic ethanol, and we had Boyce Ford in the other day talking about that exact same thing up in northern Minnesota, so I think that's a key component to what you're doing. Seeing no other questions, Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to stress that the four projects, the three specific projects working with Irie and then Representative Olin's project that he presented, are really partners. I don't see it as competition. I see that there are different specific biomes in the state that we need to look at what are the next steps of cellulosic ethanol. And I think as you consider the projects over the next couple of weeks here and looking at all of them, I think they fit very closely together. So we can decide what are the next steps and what ways that we can really proceed to the next generation of ethanol and fuel. I'll also just very quickly point out that Chairman Peterson spoke a couple days ago about their focus and his focus at the federal level, and I believe that he was actually pretty much laying out precisely these four projects as fitting into what he sees as the next steps, looking at how do we move to production, what are the challenges, what are the assets, and what can we do as we start to look at making cellulosic ethanol and all the next generation fuels a reality.
Representative Olin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to comment on, I thank Representative Kalin for realizing that all these projects are good statewide efforts, because one of the comments made, unfortunately, by Chisago County's witness did not sit very well when she made references to La Rosa seed. And so I appreciate the fact that you made the reference, especially in light of the fact that my brother-in-law teaches at one of her schools.
Very good. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, one of the things that that I know from actually working with the seed bank at Wild River State Park, this is how region to maintain the resistance to pests and other detriments to our crops and our seed stock. We really want them to be regional and not to be moving prairie. I think that the rule of thumb is something like 75 miles or 60 miles. I'm not positive about the specific number, but at some point you do start to get into some trouble. So we want roseau seed to be to growing roseau grass and be appropriate on that route. So you're right, we're in partnership here, Representative Holton.
Very good. Seeing no further questions, House File 1664, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Hackbird.
That's a good one.
Let's see. Members, I'll move House File 2155 before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Welcome, Representative Hackbart.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. Thank you very much for hearing our bill this morning. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to just make a brief comment that, yes, this is very, very similar to some of the other bills that you've heard this morning already, but also very, very unique. And I'm going to turn it over to my testifier right now, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wayne Hansen with Great River Energy, and he can explain what we've got here.
Very good. Mr. Hansen, welcome. Please introduce yourself and
Thank
proceed.
You. Thank you. I'm Wayne Hansen. I'm Director of Minnesota Generation for Great River Energy. For those of you that don't know, Great River is a generation and transmission cooperative that supplies electricity to 28 distribution co-ops throughout the state of Minnesota. This project is unique. This project takes a waste material and converts it into methanol. Methanol is one of the key components used to produce biodiesel fuel, so it's a critical component for that process. This bill would supply $250,000 to fund a portion of the upfront engineering costs to do a feasibility study on this project. One of the reasons projects like this are so hard to get going is it takes a lot of engineering to even do a feasibility study. This is a unique project. No one else is doing exactly what we want to do here, and so it takes a lot of work to even go through the economics to determine if it's a good project or not. But we have done certainly a lot of back-of-the-envelope calculations, and we believe this is an economic project, and we think there's a lot of benefits to the state for supporting a project.
Excuse me a minute, Mr. Hansen. A couple things. First of all, welcome. We have a group of students here. From St. Louis Park High School, ninth graders, I believe, and they're participating in the Minnesota Historical Society Capitol Historic Sites, Voice of the People, Your Role in Minnesota Government Tour and Educational Program. So welcome. This is the Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Committee, and we're hearing about some renewable energy projects right now. And, in fact, I would ask the page to turn on the overhead. They gave us some nice color handouts here. And as you're talking about what you're doing, if you could throw that up so that folks in the audience could kind of follow along with you, with us also.
Do you have a copy?
We'll give Hackbart something to do there. He can run the overhead. So, proceed, Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. So this is a project to convert about 250 tons of waste material per day into methanol, and to produce about 25,000 gallons of methanol per day. And going to slide two.
I got a zoomer in there. There we go. All right. A little focus. I bet some of these kids in the audience could have got this going quicker, huh? All right. Very good.
Slide two shows the owners of this project. I would add that with this support, the state of Minnesota would also be an owner in this project. But Great River Energy is one of the owners. Will also operate the facility and provide the feedstock for the facility. Another owner is the developer. It's called Nautilus Renewables. And then the third owner is the technology provider, which is a company called Integrated Environmental Technologies out of Richland, Washington. Next slide. Yep. This slide shows the layout of the facility. Certainly the facility will have a building around it, so it'll be totally enclosed, but without the building, this is what the equipment should look like. Starting from the top, there'll be some feed bins that move the feedstock into the gasifier. It's a gasification process. One of the advantages of this technology, we believe, is it gives you a lot of flexibility in what the feedstock is. Our intent is to test municipal solid waste in this process, as well as other ag products in this process. So on the diagram, we start out with the feed bins that meter the fuel into the gasifier. Located directly below the gasifier is what's called a plasma-enhanced melter. The plasma-enhanced melter is basically a high-temperature plasma arc furnace that melts anything that's not gasified in the gasifier. From that point, the gases that are produced go to a resonance chamber that complete the combustion or complete the oxidation process. Then the gases go to a quench system to cool them down, and then they go through a very efficient filtering system to separate out any materials you don't want in that gas stream or get materials that would hurt the catalyst bed. After the filters, the gases go through a wet scrubber that removes any acid gases, and then they're compressed to about 1,000 psi and forced through a catalyst bed, or also here called a gas-to-liquid system, that produces the methanol. There's a lot of unique features about this project. One is that there is about, if you're using the municipal solid waste, for example, it's about 20% ash that's produced. The ash comes out in a vitrified form that we think will be saleable. I think there's a sample
going around.
And so that's unique compared to other processes. Again, we're producing methanol for the biodiesel industry. This process is environmentally extremely clean. Great River Energy placed a high priority on environmental stewardship, and we wouldn't participate in this project if we weren't convinced this was a very, very clean environmental process. Next slide. So just the next slide, just as an example of the flexibility of this process, this is a very small facility. I would call it almost a pilot facility located in Hawaii that's actually consuming medical waste. But again, this process consumes a real variety of materials in the process. So just kind of to summarize it, we think some of the benefits of this process are that the biggest benefit is that we gain a lot of knowledge and experience dealing with the gasification of cellulosic materials, not only cellulose from municipal solid waste, but other ag cellulose products like corn stover and other materials we believe would work well in this process. If we use the process primarily for municipal solid waste conversion to methanol, again, one of the advantages is saving land space that's being consumed at a pretty rapid rate for municipal landfills that are being expanded around the state. Some of the more tangible benefits of this project are that it would produce about 1 million gallons of renewable fuel a year. 9 million gallons of renewable fuel a year. And it would also, if used for municipal solid waste, would reduce landfilling by about 75,000 tons. But again, we think one of the biggest advantages is just the knowledge that we would gain with the gasification of cellulose materials.
So the way I understand this is you would be separating the cellulosic material out of municipal solid waste, applying plasma torch technology, making products such as methanol, and then from Hackbar's district, and that would go down to Magnus's district, and we would use the methanol in biodiesel production, so we have basically closing our loop with renewables within the state. Is that
that's
a nutshell?
That's very close, yes.
Very close. All right. Represent Poppy.
Thank you, Chair Junkie. I just have a question about the project owners. I know we've had some discussion about local ownership and statewide ownership or within the state, and I just noticed that you have two that are out of state. Do you have a certain percentage that Great River Energy is the ownership?
The way it's being structured is we'd each have a third ownership in the project, is the way it's being structured. And the reason we're using out-of-state people is because the technology developer, the only one that we think has a proven technology in this area, is the Richland Washington Group, the Integrated Environmental Technologies. So.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hansen, do you have an estimate of what the methanol would cost, what your cost of production would be, you think?
Mr. Hansen.
We're looking at, we're expecting to be in the $1.30 per gallon range for the methanol. And again, without completing the feasibility study, there's a lot of unanswered questions, but that's what we're expecting right now. And again, it depends on what feedstock we're using. That's assuming we use municipal solid waste as the feedstock.
Okay, any more questions? It's kind of a cool project. Members, House File 2155, you have anything else, Representative Hackbarth?
No, I just appreciate the hearing, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. House File 2155 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Members, that's all we have before us. I will tell you, planning-wise, I'm going to try and visit, he's gone now, but I'm going to try and visit with Representative Finstead today or tomorrow and others, and certainly to all of you. We're trying to put our bill together, I think, to lay out on the table perhaps Tuesday of next week. And anything that you, other than this committee and other hearings that you think ought to be in there or you're wondering about, certainly see me in the next day or two. We want to get writing it so that we don't overwork our staff on weekends or anything. So I'd like to get them some information by tomorrow, I hope, for a Tuesday bill introduction. And then we'll proceed next week as we see fit. If there's a lot of questions or amendments or problems, you know, we can schedule a time later in the week. But otherwise, we'll put it out Tuesday morning and work on it Wednesday. And if we get it done, we get it done. If we don't, Heigerk, and we can meet whenever you want. So, all right. Very good. With that, meeting is adjourned.